Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. It's the words that Solomon spoke to his son, and these verses remind me of my son. My son Jeremy, 40 years ago when he was 4 years old, he memorized these verses and stood in front of a congregation and he quoted them without any hesitation. It was quite remarkable because we had just come over from Holland to get established in the United Kingdom, and I was very proud of him that he was able to learn these verses and say them without any hesitation at all. They're wonderful verses, they're challenging and encouraging at the same time, and I'd like to use this time to look at them a little bit more closely. Let's start with the headline, with really what the main instruction in the verse is, and that is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord, what does that mean? There are many definitions on what trusting in the Lord means, relying on him. Part of trusting, one dictionary said, is to hand over control in certain areas of your life. For example, we may trust a doctor, or we may trust a pilot. But in this verse, we are told to hand over control to God. I do not find that easy. One of the most difficult lines for me in the Lord's Prayer to pray is, "Your will be done." Oh, I can say it easily, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But when I realize this means, this includes, "Your will be done in my life, Lord," it sounds scary. It's a bit like signing a blank check, because I don't quite know what God is going to fill in on that check, what is actually going to mean, "Your will be done." It's scary. Reminds me of one of my grandsons, age 2. We took him to Bristol Zoo, and he was looking forward to it. But when we parked just outside the zoo, in the car park there, there was a little voice piping up from the back that said, "It's a bit scary. Let's not go." Well, we did go in. We convinced him that it would be a good thing, and he had a great time. But is it not something that we feel like when we think of life, when we think of another day, when we think of another week, when we think of another year? Sometimes we feel, "Let's not go. It's just a bit scary." We know we can't say things like that, but we can be overwhelmed by life as it is. When we think of our present circumstances, when we think of the coronavirus, who would have thought at the end of last year that in 2020 we would not be taken up with Brexit, but we would be battling with a pandemic affecting almost every country in the world. The whole of life would change completely. Many of us housebound, working from home, fearful, uncertain. Who would have thought? Handing over control seems a scary thing to do. And yet, when we think about other situations in life, I think we would recognize that handing over control in certain areas of your life is a very logical thing to do. Give me one example. When we flew to Australia on Singapore Airlines, imagine that the captain would come out of his cockpit and walk around the plane and tap on my shoulder and say, "Sir, would you like to have a little look on the flight deck?" I'd probably say yes to that, it would be very interesting. I would be overwhelmed by all the various instruments there, but I would get a little bit uncertain if he would have offered me to sit down and said, "Well, why don't you grab the controls and keep this plane on course?" I would say, "No, I don't want to do that. I mean, I don't know how to handle this. I can't fly a plane. You've been trained to do that. Please, it's your job. You do it." Or imagine you walk through a hospital and someone knocks on the door of the operating, knocks on the window of the operating theatre, the consultant, and says, "Come in. Come in. You know, I'm just operating on this person." Telling you, say, "Well, would you like to have a go? Would you like to make the next incision?" And I'm sure we would say, no, I can't do that. That's your job. It's specialist. It's too complicated. I can do things like that. I'm very happy to hand over control to you in these things." Is it not a good thing for us to hand over control to God and say, "Lord, you're on the throne. We want you to lead. We want to trust in you, because we can't handle these things." You see, God is a good God. He's a powerful God. He's a God who is able to deal with things in the best way possible. As Christians, we are told to trust in the Lord. On the one hand, that is so logical, because after all, God is the creator of heaven and earth. He is powerful. He has a clear plan. He is always at work. He is never taken by surprise. There is no panic in heaven. Do you realize that? We're in the middle of this pandemic. People are running around wondering what to do next. There's so much pressure, there's so much uncertainty, and yet at the same time, there is no panic in heaven. God is there in control. Oh, there is activity, and yet there is calm. God knows what he's doing. He's working out his plans in the midst of all these challenges. We can trust him. Yet on the other hand, trusting in God can be so difficult, can't it? Often things don't make sense to us. Situations are unpredictable. More often than not, we don't know God's plan. Lockdown for a week, maybe 3 weeks. Okay, I could get through that, but lockdown for 3 months? For longer? How long is this virus going to be with us? We don't know. And so we want to trust God on the one hand, and yet we worry at the same time, and we feel guilty that we don't trust him more. It's a struggle, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Solomon doesn't seek to change circumstances. God is not saying, "Well, you know, things are going to be different." No, this is not about changing circumstances. This is about changing our focus. I'm not standing here to simply tell you to trust more, improve your performance, try harder. You can rely on God. I'm sure you can do it. No, I want to emphasize that we need to trust in the Lord. We need to focus on him. This verse is more about us than it is about, sorry, it's far less about us, I should say, than it is about him. Trust in the Lord. We need to dwell on who he is and what he is. We need to explore afresh the desires of his heart and what we are to him. As Jonathan reminded us in the week, we are the apple of his eye. He is our father. He is our brother. He is our closest friend. God loves us. Jesus died for us. He saved us. We are precious in God's sight, and he will keep us and guide us and provide for us and never leave us. God can be trusted. Notice also that Solomon doesn't say, trust in the Lord as best as you can, you know, just have a go at it. No, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. There are many verses in the Bible that tells us about thinking, about using our brains and understanding. But this verse, I believe, is more about our heart. Trusting in God is first and foremost about our heart. Don't try to make sense of everything. Just trust him. Stop worrying. He loves you. When Jesus told his disciples not to worry, he added, your heavenly Father knows what you need. And we need to remind ourselves and remind each other, Father knows. He knows about our needs. He knows about our anxieties, our concerns, our sadness, our fears, our struggle. Father knows. Our Father loves. Our Father cares. And our Father is there with us in the midst of all that we are facing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That leads us on then to the second part of the verse. Lean not on your own understanding. Trusting in the Lord often stands in contrast with our own understanding. We hinted at that already. Because we can't make sense of things. We can't see what's happening. We can't even lean on other people's understanding either, because their understanding is limited as well. We come across that with this coronavirus, when we hear experts and advisors giving their views on things, and especially in the beginning of the virus, there were so many contradictory voices and so many different opinions. I was very confused in those days, and I didn't know what was actually happening. I agreed with the opinion of the Dutch experts, who said, oh, we simply don't know. We may have our views, but we've never done this before. We've never experienced this virus before. We don't know. And in every area of our lives, there are question marks all over the place. And so God tells us not to lean on our own understanding, but instead to trust him. I'm tempted to say to God sometimes, Lord, I will trust you if you sort out this mess first, or if you answer my questions first, or if you just answer this prayer first. Because I need to have this barrier out of my life before I can really trust you. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. I had a very powerful reminder of that many years ago when I struggled with something in particular. 38 years ago, we hadn't been in this country very long. We were serving the Lord in children's and youth work. And didn't have a lot of money, and so for transport, I was blessed by people providing for us. Often someone would give us their old car, and so we were mobile again. And then the car ended up on the scrapyard, and we had to wait for the next car to be provided. And that was remarkable how God provided. And yet this particular time, he didn't. Car had broken down and couldn't be repaired. And so I had no transport. Especially on Mondays. That was really awkward. Other days as well, I had to go here, there and everywhere. But on Mondays, I had to travel from Newport to Usk to do a number of Bible clubs, 3 Bible clubs in a row, different ages. First on Saturday at 5 o'clock, the last on Saturday at 8 o'clock. And And so all very well if you could just jump in a car with all your equipment and go home again the same way, but to take your equipment, and I had a special flannel board, younger generation won't even know what that means, but there were a lot of things to take under my arm, go to the bus and sit on the bus and at the change in Newport, and it took a long time, you know, left home 2:30 in the afternoon, noon, got home 11 o'clock in the evening. And you know, I was praying and I knew, say, Lord, I know you provide, I'm trusting you. But after about 2 months, my trust was wearing thin. And my prayers changed, and Lord, you know, why are you not providing? But I just can't continue every Monday to travel on the bus like this, Lord. It's all weathers, and it's just not right, Lord. I've left Holland, gave up a good job, and to serve you in this country. And Lord, why are you not providing? You know, in month 3, I started even praying. I'm embarrassed to say this, Lord. Why are you not providing, Lord? The least you can do is to give me wheels so I can actually do this work a bit more easily. One Monday, the lady who had opened our home for the Bible Club, she was a widow, husband had died a year earlier, said to me after the teenagers had left at 9 o'clock in the evening, said, Bert, said, I've got something for you. It's in the garage. You just sense my heart leap. Lord, you're doing it again. Father, I'm just so sorry for being impatient. You're providing. Lord, all the things I said, you know, they're embarrassing, Lord. Please forgive me. And I praise you for your goodness. She said, it belonged to my husband. If you don't want it, I can always sell it for you and you can have the money instead. And so I thought in my heart, well, you know, I hate to admit this. She's quite well off, and her husband, you know, her late husband as well, thought, you know, well, the sort of car that they will have parked in the garage will be quite good quality. And so now I don't need her to sell it. I'm sure I'm going to have it, Lord. It's your gift to me. And so thank you, Father. And so we walked to the garage, and she said, no, before she opened the doors, she said, well, you know, but if you really don't want it, just let me know, you know, don't feel embarrassed about it, because I can always sell it and you can have the money instead. And I'll just open the doors. I'm so excited. And so as she opened the garage doors, she said, well, Bert, I'd like you to have this canoe. And I just looked stunned, and I'm sure she wasn't aware of any of my emotions, but just looking at this large metal canoe lying on the floor of a garage, wondering, Lord, how in the world am I going to go around Newport and surrounding places in a canoe? And then I just chuckled within myself. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm genuinely sorry for being impatient. I need to trust you and for you to provide in your way, in your good time. I said to the dear lady, I said, well, you know, I haven't got a lot of use for a canoe. I think, you know, it's not a lot of water around us in Newport where we live. If you have someone you can sell it to, fine. And so she did. And a week later, she gave me £25, which she had for the canoe, and that was it. But I had learned a lesson, and I still remember that you know, we need to trust God. Now as I remember the lesson, I often forget to practice it in the way I should. But God is a God who can be trusted, and we shouldn't lean on our own understanding, because our eyesight is very limited. God has the whole picture, and so let's trust in Him and not in ourselves. Excuse me. Let's continue by saying, thirdly, in all your ways acknowledge Him or submit to Him. The Authorized Version has acknowledge Him, the NIV says submit to Him. There's quite a bit of overlap between the two. And I think both translations are right in a way, as long as you understand the word acknowledge. Because acknowledge can mean different things. In everyday life, we acknowledge another person with a nod. We may just nod like that when we see someone, or maybe not like that, but we can just acknowledge someone that we see on the other side of the road. In Albertilleri, it's a little bit more jovial. You don't nod, you say, "Hi, bud. All right, buddy." But I'm sure that you realize that this verse means a lot more than giving a nod to God. It's not like, "Hi, God. All right, God." That's how the world maybe deals with God, but it's not how we should deal with God. Soccer players do it a bit better than those who nod, give a nod to God. I mean, when they score a goal, you see them point to the sky. And for many of them, it means that they acknowledge God who has enabled them, you know, to do these things. They praise Him, they worship Him, you know, in that moment. And yet there again, it's only a fraction what it means to acknowledge Him. Acknowledging God is so much more than giving Him a nod or pointing to Him when things go well. It is an attitude. It is a lifestyle. It's something that is there every day. Not giving Him a nod one moment of the day, but it is just constantly realizing that He is there, right in the midst of it. Sometimes our circumstances are great, and we should acknowledge God by thanking Him for His blessings. At other times things are difficult, and then we should acknowledge God by submitting to Him, as the NIV says, and by trusting Him. Acknowledging Him therefore includes submitting to Him. It's reckoning with Him all the time. Trusting in God is just all the time handing things over, talking to Him about things, expecting things from Him. Trusting Him in all our circumstances. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Submit to Him. That is what Solomon teaches his son to do also. And finally, the promise then is, if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, if we do not lean on our own understanding, as we acknowledge Him in all our ways and submit to Him, the promise is that He shall direct our path, or, as the NIV says, He will make your path straight. Is the NIV right in their translation? I would like it to be, but He will make your path straight, really? Let's be honest, not many Christians would consider the road we walk on to be straight. It's not what it feels like, isn't it? As we're facing the consequences of this coronavirus, the promise of a straight road seems a bit unreal, doesn't it? It's difficult, it's troublesome. It reminds me of what one of my other grandsons, one of the Australian ones, said to me many years ago. He was only two, I think, and I was, you know, I was driving his dad's car, and Maria was sitting next to me, and you know, he and his brother were sitting in the back, and in Australia they have you know, mostly automatic cars rather than manual, and I struggled a little bit with them. You know, it's very hard to drive an automatic car because you don't have to change gears in that way. Of course, you don't have a clutch, and so I think I just stuttered a bit with the car. You know, it didn't go as smooth as I would like to, and he noticed that it didn't go the way it should do. And so his little voice piped up on the back, and he said, "Opa," as he calls me, you know, the Dutch for granddad. "Opa," he said, "if you crash the car, we've got a spare tire in the back." And I thought by myself, well, you know, if I crash the car, you probably need more than a spare tire. But he was just trying to encourage me. And you know, when I think about life, I need more than a spare tire. You know, I just need a lot more than that. And as Christians, is it not right to say we do have more than a spare tire in the back? We have God who's leading us, God who's directing us, God who's keeping us. The Hebrew word that is translated directing or straight literally means to make right or to make straight. It literally does mean he will make your path right. He will make your path straight. No, that's not the same as easy. Yet it is the best path possible. Remember the ministry of John the Baptist? As the forerunner of Jesus, John had to prepare the way. Remember the prophecy that Isaiah gave regarding John the Baptist's ministry that is quoted in the New Testament as well? This is what is the summary of John the Baptist's ministry. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, no one would say that Jesus' path was easy. And yet, in God's understanding, it was a straight path. In other words, it was the right path. It was the best path. It was the only path, as our Lord obeyed his Father and pleased him in all he did. There was no other path for him to walk. That was the path. And so it is for us. The road may not be easy, but as we trust in the Lord with all our heart, as we refuse to lean on our own understanding, as we acknowledge him in all our way and all our ways and submit to him, the promise is that God will direct us and he will lead us onto the best path, the safest path, the only right path, the path where he leads, where he provides, where he is with us, and where he will never lead us. May God help us to trust him, and may we experience his direction in the days to come. God bless you. Amen.